Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. And today we're taking you back 70 years to Poland during World War II. Alan Johnston has been hearing an account of life in and around the Jewish ghetto in Krakow. This programme begins with a deeply disturbing recollection.
It was in these first days of March back in 1941 that the Germans formally announced a plan for Krakow's Jews. They would be crammed into one district, which would be encircled by a high wall. In intensely crowded conditions and on the verge of starvation, they would be forced to work in factories. Living close by was a little Polish Catholic girl called Alina. Through her parents' bedroom window, she could see over the wall into the ghetto, and all these years on, she remembers the horrors she witnessed.
I remember a young woman walking on the pavement with an infant in her arm. Maybe the child was about a year old. And I saw other side walking the German soldier. Came to her, caught the baby.
Took the child from the mother's arms?
Yes, and splashed the head on the wall. And I remember the brain going down the wall.
The soldier hit the child's head on the wall?
Yes. And I will never forget the scream of that woman. You know, I was quite small myself. But I remember that it was horrible. I always see in my eyes that brain going down. And that horrible scream of that poor woman. I have that so deeply in my memory that even now, so many years after, I have very bad dreams.
When you looked into the ghetto, what sort of life did you see going on in the streets there?
I saw a lot of people very frightened, people very thin because they were hungry. I saw, for example, the big lorries, and people were pushed to the lorries and taken, of course, where to concentration camp or just to the sites to be killed, you see.
But Alina's family did not simply stand by and watch. Despite the extraordinary dangers, they did what they could to help Jews, those in the ghetto and those who escaped or were in hiding outside its walls. For a time, they gave refuge to a little Jewish girl, and Alina remembers lying in bed beside her one night while German soldiers searched the house, her mother trying to pass off all the children in the room as her own.
So they came, and my mother said, "That's all my children. What do you want?" And she was very, very upset. And they went. German people. You know, that was a funny story, you know, funny. Funny for us now. But you just realize that if they will found any Jewish children there, that all of them will be killed.
But as you lay there, do you remember the German walking by? The German soldier?
Yeah, I had the closed eyes and I was pretend I was fast asleep, you see. But I was hearing their voice. I was hearing what they, you know, they
were... Footsteps.
Yes. That's what I was hearing.
That's a frightening moment for a little girl.
But that was the life.
Everyone endured severe shortages in wartime Poland, but Alina's mother, Maria Żurowska, managed to spare tiny amounts of food and prepare it to be smuggled into the ghetto.
Sometimes I wake during the night. I found her in kitchen. She was cooking. I said, "What are you doing?" She always said, "I'm just making food for poor people, for hungry people." And just on the table were jars, a lot of jars. And she was prepared. It was fat, it was some sugar.
Fat and sugar.
A lot of that things, what was necessary for the people, they have not that in the diet. Mixed with, for example, juice from carrot.
carriages.
Making the colour, you see.
As a doctor and a senior medical officer, Alina's father, Ludwig, was in the very rare position of being able to come and go from the ghetto. The Germans were relying on him to prevent the spread of disease which might infect their forces. And so, in his medical bag, the doctor was able to carry in the jars of food his wife had prepared and do much more to assist the ghetto's inmates.
Young people, sometimes 30, 35, because of that horrible situation, people became grey on hair.
Their hair turned grey.
Yes. But if somebody had grey hair, in opinion of German, were not able to work and was necessary to send to concentration camp or to kill.
So they saw their hair turning grey, they thought they
yes.
were older,
yes.
they were more likely to be singled out for death
yes.
and concentration
and
camps.
And father, in that case, he had a special black hair dye.
Hair dye?
Yes. And first he was painted, that person. That person, meanwhile, was eating.
As your father would put hair dye
yes.
into their hair and at the same time they'd be eating and then
yes.
going back stronger and younger looking.
Yes. That was the way.
Dr. Zhirovsky was able to pass messages between Jews inside and outside the ghetto and help connect them with the Polish underground resistance. There was the constant danger that his activities would be exposed and punished by death. And he came under suspicion when it was discovered that he'd given medicine to a Jewish woman who was on the run.
She left my father's surgery, went to chemist, got the medicine, and she was going by train, and unfortunately the train was stopped, and Germans were just checking any Jewish people, any underground organization people, you know.
Germans came on the train, started questioning the passengers.
Yes. She was afraid, so she escaped. Unfortunately, she did not take her case. And inside they found the medicine with the name of the doctor.
Your father's name was on the Jewish girl's medicine.
So, of course, they came and they took my father.
During his brutal interrogation, Dr. Zhirovsky lost many of his teeth. But he seems to have been able to convince the Germans that he hadn't known that the woman he'd helped was Jewish and that he had to return to his important work of controlling disease in the ghetto. Years later, Alina would ask her father how he could bring himself to take so many risks.
He said, oh, that was my duty. It in his mind, in the mind of my mother, was absolutely not the idea to close the door for the people, the needy. You know, if they need something.
They couldn't shut the door on the people that needed their help.
No, absolutely not.
The doctor did not see himself as a hero, but his courage was recognised by the authorities at Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Memorial Centre in Israel. It named him as one of the righteous among the nations. It is a roll call of those who chose to make a stand and risk their lives to help Jewish victims of the Nazis. Today, a tree planted in Dr. Ludwig Zhirovsky's honour stands in the grounds of Yad Vashem on a hilltop outside Jerusalem.
Alan Johnston. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.